This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
With your 2021 World Series champion Atlanta Braves.
Champions!
On Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
It is Dukes and Bell. Thanks to Arthur Blank, who joined us in the 5 o'clock hour. Lengthy conversation. It will be online here, and I think it is, at Odyssey.com. You can check it out. We'll replay a little bit of it for you in the 6, because there are some things we want you to hear coming up. As we'll talk about some things that happened at the owners' meetings with D. Orlando Ledbetter. That's in 20 minutes. And then tonight we've got Hawks basketball on the way. But, Mike, just to kind of reset before we get to Grant, because there's a lot of baseball news we need to get to before opening day, a lot of people responding to Arthur Blank and, you know, saying, hey, look, I felt him at the end of this interview, his desire to win. We've always said this.
Right.
Part of the issue is, you know, just like with anything, you grow as an owner, Mike. Has he made mistakes? Has he done things over the years that he probably regrets? Yeah, absolutely. But we're at a point right now, this may be the best position
right.
as far as being flexible with our roster and all the things that he's been in a very, very long time.
I told you, I went back and I looked all the way back to 2003 and then beyond that. You got to go back to 93 and like 90, the last time we had this kind of money to spend. I'm talking about 30 years. And Arthur Blank, as we said, now you can go spend it. Now, a lot of folks are looking at these grades and they're not getting B's and C's and D's. Look, all the proof's in the pudding. We address some needs. It was never that sexy a free agent class, but Arthur does want to win. At the end of the day, probably a little too loyal to the GM, probably a little too loyal to Matt and Julio, Falcon for life, things like that. He'd probably take it back.
Absolutely. We'll talk more about what he had to tell us. Let's bring in our buddy Grant McCauley. He, of course, is our Braves insider. MLB covers Major League Baseball for us here. And Grant, opening day just a couple of days away. I'm curious, before we get into some personnel conversations, World Series or bust? Is that where we're at? Are we in this window with the Braves where we've gotten, you know, 5 straight NL East titles? We're in our window. How much longer are we in this window?
Yeah, I think we're in that window right now, most definitely. And it's hard to look at this season for the Braves and say that anything short of a trip to the World Series is what any of these guys have in mind. And having won a World Series, what, year before last, a lot of the fans have that on their mind, too. So I would most definitely, you know, just buy the bumper sticker, I guess, World Series or bust, and slap it on the Braves bandwagon, because I think it's going to be there for a while, and I think it's a pretty great thing to be able to say, considering, you know, you have won one. That was, you know, step one, and they continue to find ways to get into October. Now you just want to see them finish this thing off and build a dynasty of sorts, and the Braves definitely have the personnel to make that kind of thing happen, and they've locked up this core for quite a while. So, yeah, long story short, World Series or bust, let's print it.
Excellent. The young pitchers, we heard Alex Anthopoulos on the Steakhouse today. What do you make of that? Kind of seeing what these guys can do. Dodd and Schuster testing them a little bit, see how they handle the pressure.
Yeah, I think that it's always good to look at your roster and make as many decisions as you can. And there will be some that are nuanced. And I know we can talk about shortstop and it kind of going the other way. But you know, taking the best 26 north, and maybe that's just what this boils down to. We saw Ian Anderson struggle so mightily last year Then you come into spring training, and it didn't look like much had changed. And I know they didn't give him a long time, and I kind of thought, well, I guess if, you know, you're not really sold on either of the youth, then maybe you just let Ian Anderson figure it out at the big league level. But when you are a contender and you are in that window, it's hard to let guys go out and, quote-unquote, figure it out and struggle at the major league level. So I like giving them a challenge, and I think what they showed in spring training was an ability to go out and throw strikes, attack the zone. They haven't been afraid in any of their opportunities against major league opposition. And I feel like, yeah, you just kind of find out what they have. We know, as I've said so many times, we're not getting through the year with just five starting pitchers. It's just not going to be a thing. But I think that these are guys that the Braves feel very strongly about being able to get out at the big league level, and they're going to test them in these first couple of series. So I'm excited to see what they do.
Grant, as far as our division, I still think it's ours to lose. But just quickly, let's run down these other teams, specifically Mets, Phillies. Who makes a jump? Who takes a jump this year? And is this the most competitive division in baseball, in your opinion?
I think it has to be. If not, I mean, what's the other one? I mean, maybe the American League East is always that division as well. I mean, the Orioles got better last year. The Rays are always plucky. The Red Sox took a step back. The Yankees were doing their thing. And the Blue Jays are a really good team. Then you look over at the NL East. You know, the Mets have spent more money than just about anybody that we can think of in recent memory. The Phillies also spent a whole bunch of money in the offseason. The Braves in this division, and I just did a National League East preview series on From the Diamond that you can find in the archives over the last 3 weeks, including a long look at all four of these teams. And both the Phillies and the Mets guests that I had said, look, we know that the path through October for the National League East is going to go through the Braves. Everybody wants to unseat the Atlanta Braves. And I think the Marlins could take a step forward if you're asking me who makes a jump this year. I'm not convinced that the Phillies are going to be altogether that much better than they were last year in the regular season, but they proved the same thing that the Braves proved the year before. Get hot in October, and it doesn't really matter if you have the most wins in the league come, you know, game number 162. Meanwhile, the Mets, I mean, they've got some unfinished business. They won as many games as the Braves last year, and they also went home in the first round of the playoffs, just like the Braves did last year as well. So I do think it's an ultra-competitive division. I feel like this is a three-team race as much as anything, and if the Phillies can get Bryce Harper back sooner than later, that'll help them make up for losing Rhys Hoskins for the year. That's a big blow for them that happened in the final week of spring training. Mets didn't sign Carlos Correa, but you look all around that team, you know, losing Edwin Diaz hurts them as well. So everybody's kind of dealing with their own things. It's not just the Braves losing Iglesias or not having Kyle Wright at the start of the year. It's just going to be one of those battles, and I'm excited to see what comes out of it.
And again, we lost Acuna for the year World Series run. You know, Albies last year. Yeah. Again, world's smallest violin for those big spending Phils and Mets. It's our man Grant McCauley with us here. By the way, speaking of the Phillies, the JT Realmuto thing with the umpire yesterday. Are we going to see a lot of this? And what people didn't see was Kimbrel got called for a ball for taking too much time on the mound, and then this is Realmuto pulled his thing. Are we going to see a lot of aggravation behind the plate and this kind of stuff during this season? I know Manfred sent out the new ruling trying to give some flexibility.
Yeah, I think that they want to, as much as possible, have a little bit of common sense applied to these situations. But that Realmuto ejection, there was no common sense involved in that. That's just a flat out a mix-up. And that, you know, we saw that video make the rounds yesterday. I don't know if they'll be exactly that pronounced as far as some of these incidents go. But I think there's going to be some surprise for different guys that are like, wait, no, I was there. I was doing this. Or I was where I was supposed to be. Or I was about to do what I was supposed to do at that time. But I feel like as much as I've talked to minor league officials and some players and some broadcasters about what was it like getting used to the pitch clock last year, they said, yeah, there's this influx in the first month or 6 weeks, and then you start to just kind of get with the program. Now, the interesting thing for me, I think, is I don't really care about the pitch clock over the first seven or so innings. When you get into high-pressure situations in the eighth and ninth inning and we're not just kind of letting the game breathe a little bit, that doesn't happen in spring training. It wasn't happening in the World Baseball Classic because they didn't use the clock at all. So we haven't really seen the biggest moments with the biggest players with everything on the line, and the clock is running. So I want to see how that whole thing plays out.
Tell us about these two lefties, man. We got two lefties in the rotation. I don't know how they're going to fare, but, boy, I thought they proved themselves at spring training.
Yeah, and the ability to go out and just attack hitters, throw strikes, miss bats, which they both did. Jarrett Schuster's got a really nice changeup. He got the most time in AAA last year with 10 total appearances. Dylan Dodd got up for one start, so he signed the guest book in Gwinnett last year. And, you know, I just feel like as we got into spring training and saw all the usual suspects, the Ian Andersons, Bryce Elders, Michael Soroka, those are the guys we were talking about. Maybe throw Colby Allard's name in there. We knew about them. But Schuster and Dodd were kind of the dark horse candidates, or just the guys that were there to have a big league camp and get some experience. And they end up being the most impressive. And I saw him throw on the backfields against big league hitters, including Ronald Acuna Jr., Eddie Rosario, Matt Olson. Dylan Dodd was just punching everybody out. And we saw that throughout the course of spring training. It's just a nice, easy, repeatable delivery. He's already used to the pitch clock, and so is Jared Schuster, I believe. So that shouldn't be something that rattles these guys. You just have to be able to, I think, as much as anything, have that recognition that, hey, I belong here. Go attack these lineups. And I think that the Braves should be pretty happy with the results if spring training is any indication.
It is our man G Money. By the way, I know we talked about the bullpen. That's about it. Is the only area that really concerns or should concern Braves fans the shortstop position? And because I know we've already gotten past the Grissom not coming up thing, but Arcia, and then is that basically your only concern?
I don't know if I'm really even that concerned about Orlando Arcia, because we are talking about the ninth hitter on the club. And having seen what he did last year, I mean, he was really – he came in and played some really important games when Ozzie Albies went down to help the Braves at second base. Now, obviously, he got an injury scare, and that brought up Vaughn Grissom, and it obviously launched our whole discussion that we've been having for several months. I don't know that I'm overly concerned about that position. I just feel that if the Braves want to reassess that, they have the depth to do that. Iglesias not being available at the start of the year, not having your closer, I think concerns a lot of teams. But when you do look at the Braves' bullpen depth, and I saw a recent post on Fangraphs, I mean, the Braves were rated the number one bullpen in baseball. Throw that on top of the fact that most, if not all, the projection systems like the Braves to maybe win the most games in the National League this year. And we're in some weird uncharted territory where all of a sudden the projections like the Atlanta Braves. And that has not felt like the thing when you're basically getting win forecasts of 85, 87, 88 wins, whatever it is. The Braves, I think, have finally sold people. And one of the big things that does it is having the layers of quality depth that the Braves do. I think they've got enough of that in left field. I think they've got enough of it at shortstop. And if Iglesias is only down for a couple of weeks, this bullpen with all of the veterans and the guys with experience that the Braves have should be able to cover for that. And then, obviously, you want to get Kyle Wright back as soon as possible. That's probably the only other area that I'm really, I don't know if holding my breath is the right word for it or phrase for it, but I would like to see him back sooner than later, and I know the Braves would too.
Great stuff, Grant. Can't wait. Thursday, again, opening day for baseball for us, but it's not our home opener. That will happen the following week, and we'll talk more about that as we get closer and closer. Grant, have a great day, man. Take care.
Yeah, you too. Excited for another season of Braves baseball and talking with you guys just about every day.
No doubt.
Right on. Starts in D.C. They will be out there next Thursday and Friday right at Murph's, right?
Yeah, 2 days back-to-back right at Murph's, man, Thursday and Friday. All right, guys, coming up, D. Orlando Ledbetter. We've already talked to our owner. He talked to Arthur Smith today. What did our coach have to say to D. Led about all the things that are going on with our team? Stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Most important story of the day. Brought to you by MaximumCashHomeBuyers.com. Fair cash offers for as-is homes. Don't waste your time with repairs. Call 678-902-2000.
Oh, let's talk to our buddy D. Orlando Ledbetter. It's been a minute since we've had D. on. He's been busy, and he's been covering the NFL owners' meetings. Of course, he covers our Falcons for the AJC and AJC.com. D. Led, what did you learn today from Coach Arthur Smith? I mean, what the big takeaway, obviously, was what he said about Desmond Ridder. Tell us and our listeners what he said and what you think about it.
Yeah, it's all online. You know, he said he's a starter. that he earned the right to move forward. And, you know, that's kind of what everything was pointing towards. Shouldn't have been that much of a breaking news thing. But Desmond Ridder is a starter. Kyle Pitts is coming back. They're expecting him to, you know, be healthier and all that. Jalen Hawkins is going to move into some nickel packages and stuff. And there's one other item. Oh, Eddie Goldman coming out of retirement.
Right.
Those are some of the items today that we learned about.
Well, are you running in the airport? I don't know. If you're doing like the O.J. Hurts commercial.
Yeah, I'm running to Missouri Fountain, though. Yes, I am.
No, I just don't want you to like pass out on us. It's our man.
No, I'm good. I do need to work on my aerobics, though.
That's what I call it. Hey, man. No, look, we all like Ridder. Nobody doesn't not like Ridder. I mean, we've chopped this up so many ways, D. It just, had they only gone to him sooner, when he said that he wasn't ready. I mean, I don't know if that gives me more. It doesn't exactly buoy my support. If he wasn't ready till like 4 weeks left in the season, how do you know he's going to be ready to go 17 weeks?
Well, you know, they had all offseason to work with him, had, you know, spent the time with him. So he'll have all the reps and everything going into the season.
D, let's talk about some of these other moves. How do you feel about the offseason moves so far? We were talking with the owner, Arthur Blank. He said, listen, first time we've had some money to spend. Have they spent it wisely in your estimation?
Yeah, I think they did a good job, certainly rebuilding the middle of the defense. Yeah, and I got a break here. I caught up to Terry, so we're good.
Okay, awesome.
But, yeah, I like the Ayumada. They might have paid too much for him. Jesse Bates was fine, and all the rest of the deals were fine. And I guess they got Scotty Miller here today.
It is our man, D. Lett. I mean, yeah, Scotty Miller was a dude, you know, a bunch of catches, and, you know, he serves a role. I was kind of hoping we go for a guy like Mecole Hardman, or you think they'll maybe address wide receiver in the draft as well in a middle to late round pick.
Yeah, no doubt. It's a deep, it's not supposed to be that deep of a wide receiver draft, but you can find guys at different tiers that will come in and help out. But then you got guys on the roster that, okay, they drafted Frank Darby. He's been around a couple years. He's got to show he can play now. It's the time to replace him with some people. Josh Ali from Kentucky, he's another guy on the roster. You want to see if he can play. But, yeah, I can definitely see them taking a receiver in the draft.
D, we talk about Desmond Ridder. What about the O-line? How are you feeling about what they've done? Basically taking care of their own, right? Lindstrom gets an extension. We know Kayla McGarry's back. Is there a hole that you're concerned about right now, and do they address that in the draft?
Yeah, you got a hole at left guard. You can do Skaronski at eight. Maybe Roger Jones and move some people around. The Hinton kid from Minnesota looks like he might could fill in there. You know, with McGarry coming back, you still got a pass rush problem and how much you're going to be able to drop back and throw the ball. But yeah, that offensive line was third in the league and running, so you're going to build around that. So that's a good start to go off of, and Desmond's got to make his reads and make some accurate throws to get the ball down the field.
I know that we know that you could go address the offensive line a little bit more, and we've got $20 million to spend. Do you feel, though, we will have the depth to provide and the quality of line play with these moves to protect Ridder and give him that pocket?
No, not until, I mean, unless you draft a pass blocking guard. You know, McGarry still gave up six sacks last year when, you know, they did a good job of running it. So, you know, they didn't pay him $17 million like McGeechee got. So, you know, until we see them hold up, you know, there's no reason to, you know, think they can yet.
D, I know you talked to Arthur Smith about Kyle Pitts. I need more production from Pitts. Is that going to happen as we move forward? I know the health has to be one of the concerns, but what did Coach say about Kyle Pitts and how he expects him to return from the injury?
Yeah, you know, I had wrote early in the year at Seattle where he showed up with this big brace on his hand, and they told me it was a glove. So the day Coach had admitted that he was playing banged up, and if you look at his catch percentage numbers, they're like, it was like 40-something. You know, he's going to catch stuff that comes to him if he's healthy.
Right.
So, you know, I think last year was just he was banged up. Then he eventually goes down with the knee. But the kid wants it. I did some off-the-field stuff with him last year. And had some good conversations with him, said in the right place, and he did it the first year with Matt throwing the ball. So I don't think he's a problem moving forward. I think his production, you can kind of bank on it, you know, if he can stay healthy.
We had a Jonnu Smith on the show. Love his energy. Seems like he was in purgatory up there in Foxborough. Seems really excited to be here. And to your point about Kyle Pitts, does that mean Kyle Pitts is going to be all over the place in freelancing?
Yeah, no doubt. Coach said that about Jonnu too. He said running back, receiver, you know, maybe, you know, well, tight end, of course. But, hey, so he might line up in different places too. But that means both of them will be doing that in kind of a rotation. So it'll be interesting to see how Coach plays with his new chess pieces.
What about the defensive side with our new defensive coordinator, Ryan Nielsen, and how he is impacting maybe some of these moves and, more importantly, even in the draft? What do you think?
Yeah. They did put an emphasis on their defensive front, which is Coach Nielsen's specialty. Getting Goldman out of retirement was a bonus. You got Oyemata, signing the kid Graziani from the Chargers. You're getting Horn back to go with Grady. So you got some beef up front now. So that'll protect you up the middle. You got some linebackers. Troy Anderson's got to step forward. Then Jesse Bates puts out a lot of fires on the back and gives you another chess piece and Jalen Hawkins to move around. Still, you know, you're counting on 34-year-old Casey Hayward to hold it down at right cornerback, which would make the Gonzalez kid, you know, a good target for them. At number 8, the Oregon cornerback.
Yep, I know there's a lot of buzz, a lot of mock drafts with us going corner, but last year we did not go edge rush. Of course, we went wide receiver, and we got into the second tier of edge rushers in Ebikadie. This year, do you think of a guy like Tyree? I mean, first off, I mean, what's your time? We haven't a chance to catch up with you. Jalen Carter. If Jalen Carter's there at 8, how do you pass that up?
Yeah, I you know, there's some reasons as to why you don't do that. You know, yeah, I don't think he gets to 8, so, okay. You know, but I don't think he gets past Seattle or Detroit. But if he's there at 8, you got to snap him up. He's going to be the best player on the board.
Right. But do you think they're high on some of these other guys? You know, we've heard about Tyrese. Again, another guy who might not be there, Tyree Wilson from Texas Tech.
Yep.
Lucas Van Ness, a lot of mocks have us getting that dude from Iowa. But do you think they should go, if it's best athlete, then it's a corner?
Well, yeah, that was a little too high for both of those guys, especially Tyrese with the injury thing that just came up. So that kind of is going to drop him out a little bit. But, they're in a spot where they could trade out of it, too.
Well, I know you got a visit with Terry Fontenot, D, and we appreciate you hustling and coming on the show. It's been a minute, but we wanted to grab you because you had all that exclusive stuff today with Coach and talking to guys, and I know you're going to be talking with Terry, so I can't wait to see what he has to say as well as the owners' meetings are going on out there in Phoenix. Thanks so much, D.
Hey, yeah, thank you guys so much and really appreciate y'all having me on over the years. I'm sure that was part of being named the Sports Writer of the Year, and I thank you guys for having me.
Absolutely.
Does that mean a dinner? What's that mean?
D's going to treat us. I just have to laugh because
building his brand
over the years. If you know or you've run into D, Orlando Ledbetter, he's a sweet dude. But like literally hustling to try to catch up with the GM, and you heard it in his voice. I'm trying to catch Terry. It's like he's on his way. But listen, you got to get these interviews, and everybody wants to know what everybody's thinking.
I heard an old lady in the background go, "Go, D Led, go."
No, that was OJ, Mike.
What's that? No, I know what I heard.
That was the OJ commercial. Hey, man, we're going to come back. Speaking of our owner, we are going to play a little bit of what he had to say about Lamar Jackson because Arthur Blank was pretty good today, guys, when he came on this show and how he addressed all of these things, including I asked him about guaranteed contracts and how he felt. Stay right there. You'll hear a little bit of it next. Coming up 20 minutes, pregame show for our Atlanta Hawks. It's been a busy day. If you are just joining us, where have you been? It's Dukes and Bell. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We had a chance to catch up with our owner, Arthur Blank, today. And I want you to hear a couple of things that he answered for us. One of the questions Mike and I asked him was about Lamar Jackson and how he feels. Now, he was quoted by Josh Kendall as saying, listen, this guy's different than Deshaun Watson. Simply because he's been an MVP, he's a special talent, one of the top quarterbacks in the league. He talked about him in a very glowing light,
Right.
But here's what he said to us on Dukes and Bell in regards to Lamar.
Well, I would say that, you know, anytime you have a player of that stature that comes, you know, to the free agency market, I think every team, I wouldn't say every team, but I would say, you know, pretty much, you know, most teams would certainly, you know, look at Lamar as you know, as an opportunity. I think we look at our situation. We've come out of an era where, you know, 25% and heading to north of that was going to be tied up with one player. And that, you know, as I said earlier in the broadcast, is that that put us in a position where we couldn't do two things. We couldn't build out and build up our roster across the board, not only in depth for depth, but also for frontline starters. And, you know, it's having a quarterback that can play competitively is critical. But so it is, you know, you have to have a good defense, you have to have a competitive offense, et cetera, be able to move the ball, stop the ball, et cetera. So I think, you know, part of our recognition was that we had a lot of work, you know, to do in that regard. I think probably most importantly for us is that, you know, we drafted this young man, Desmond Ridder, last year in the third round, and I think he's continued to show everything that we expected of him. And maybe beyond that, to the point that Coach Smith and the staff, and including Terry and Rich, we all feel comfortable that he should be our starter going into this next year. And we've got a really good young backup, Taylor Heineke, who you know, lives in Atlanta and drive to work in 7 minutes, and is a you know, really qualified backup to support Desmond as well. And that, you know, and that makes a lot of sense for us. And, you know, we want to be able to sign our own and to be able to be active in free agency across the board and continue to draft well. And then when players are ready to consider free agency, we want to make sure that they stay at home. You know, we want to be able to keep them at home if that's our decision.
I know that we've talked about that a lot, and Arthur kind of touches on it, Carl. I mean, Devondre Campbell goes on to be a Pro Bowler with Green Bay. Foye Oluokun, that's a guy. I mean, Grady's one of the few guys we developed as a fifth rounder and then comes and gets two contracts from us and has obviously been the one go-to guy.
Yep.
And the only guy that you really depend on, and the defense has been pretty poor. He's the one guy that you count on. But you get Arthur's point. He gets it. We've been in salary cap hell. And for the first time in a long time, and for most of his time as an owner, you get to do these things.
Yeah, it's far few in between because it's just hard. Once your team gets good, you're paying guys.
Right.
And it's hard. And if you want to stay good, everybody's got a window. And right. You stay good for 5 or 6 years, Mike, and all of a sudden now you're going to go through this reset. By the way, we just had on D. Orlando Ledbetter. He asked Terry Fontenot about Rashawn Evans. We've been asking this question. Terry Fontenot told D. Led they are still looking to bring him back. So apparently, Mike, they've got about $20 million to spend remaining from what we've spent so far. You've got to save $5 million, guys, for the rookie class. But apparently, according to our general manager, they're still looking to bring Rashawn Evans back. We've been asking this question.
Right. And again, I guess you could argue that every day that he's out there on the float, that, you know, the deal gets sweeter for the Falcons and the price goes down. The market for those younger folks softens and you get a better deal. And that's kind of what happened with Caleb McGarry. You know, I still was, you know, we talked during the conversation with D-Led. You know, that's the thing when we, and D brought up a sore spot for me when we talk about some of the limitations to McGarry's game, but you didn't break the bank. And to some guys still say, well, why did you bring him back? They have a familiarity, and they hope that he continues to improve. But you kind of know what he is by 4 or 5 years, and he's a good run blocker, not a great pass blocker. But again, that's good news about on the other side. Rashawn Evans, that gives you depth. Again, depth on the defense that you haven't had in so what, since 17.
Yeah, I was hoping, but as time went on, the more time goes, you start to feel like this is not a priority. But we're going to see, because if they are trying to do that and they still have money to spend, and Mike, right. I told you, I think the deal's somewhere between 11 and 12, you know, million per, when you start talking about his position and what he was able to do last year, it was really a 1 year prove it kind of deal, but this is a former first round pick out of Alabama.
Right.
So you say, can he help us? I feel like he can. So they are saying they are trying to bring him back. This is what our owner, all right, Arthur Blank said after Mike asked him about what are the expectations for this year with this coaching staff and now Terry Fontenot?
Well, I don't put a quota on, you know, on winning, but I certainly put a quota on improvements. And I think that the team has been, you know, very competitive the last couple of years. The year before last, we didn't bounce out of the playoff run until the last game of the year against the Bills. And that game we almost won. This last year, we were very competitive as well. given the plan that Terry and Arthur had at the outset, you know, the transition going through this, and you know, the transition without Matt, and you know, hopefully, you know, Matt will, well, whatever. We have a great relationship with Matt and love him certainly. But you know, we're in a position now that I think our team is definitely ready to compete at the highest level. So I love the steps that they've taken. It's not a free fall. It was very thoughtful, very methodical, making the right decisions, showing the right kind of disciplines, making the right kind of analysis of players and, you know, how they fit into the coach's system, not just Coach Smith, but all the coaches. And we have a new defensive coordinator who's got a great track record from New Orleans, and we certainly used to, you know, having to play against him in his games, and they've been excellent. So, and we're able to recruit a couple of players actually from the Saints this last year. So I love where we are. Fans should know we will, you know, not leave any door unopened, any stone unturned, and whatever the expression is, to make sure that we are competitive this year, even more competitive than we've been the last 2 years. And I fully expect that. I mean, I fully expect it. The coach understands that. Terry understands that. And certainly Rich McKay understands that as well.
Yeah, and you brought this up at the tail end of the conversation, that Rich McKay, because we're under the impression Rich is doing league stuff, and, you know, he oversees the stadium and everything else. But, you know, Rich's still a guy they lean on, a voice in that room as far as, you know. That's why I said I sure hope they do talk to Rich if Jalen Carter's available at 8, because he built an unbelievable defense with that Buccaneers team, you know, that Tony Dungy had and eventually John Gruden won a Super Bowl with.
Yeah.
And part of that was Warren Sapp.
And when we say that, I hope that's not interpreted again, because I don't want to disrespect Terry and his job and his ability. Me asking a question of somebody who's been around it,
right,
versus me making the decision, two different things. Thomas Dimitroff had the same option, Mike. Ask right. a question, here's what I think, but it's your decision.
Right.
You're the guy that's picking the groceries. So we'll see. We're coming back. We are going to clear.
I mean, they're not firing Rich. He's already been kicked upstairs.
No. And that's my point.
Your butt's on the line.
You can take the advice, right, but it's still your decision. We're going to come back, clear our throats. We're also going to tell you what's coming up tomorrow on the show. Lots of great guests to join us. Stay right there. We got Hawks basketball on the way. It's Dukes and Bell.
And Bell are wrapping up another show, so it's time for
Let Me Clear My Throat
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, thanks to all of our guests today. AA, you got a chance to hear him from the Steakhouse. That's Alex Anthopoulos as we get ready for the Braves season. Also, Arthur Blank, Brian McFadden stopped by. Tomorrow, we've got more guests to come by. Lauren Williams, Mike from the AJC, talk Hawks. Hawks play tonight.
Cool.
They take on the Cavaliers. We'll talk with Lauren tomorrow about what this looks like and where we're at. Hopefully, we're picking up a dub. Connor Riley's going to stop by from Dog Nation. We'll talk to Grant as we count down opening day. My buddy Lance Zierlein from NFL.com is going to stop by. He's great at the draft. We'll talk to him at around 6 o'clock tomorrow and get his take on all things draft-related.
Yeah, he has an article that came out talking about what are the strengths. That's why we talked about it with D-Led about, you know, there's a lot of good corners. But again, like everything else, Carl, there's like two tiers. You got two tiers of edge rushers, two tiers of corners. You know, running backs, not exactly a great draft for the wide receivers or running backs, and certainly for interior linemen. That's why maybe you stick with the plan of addressing it through free agency.
Yeah, and we're also going to talk to one of the only female general managers in professional sports. That's going to happen tomorrow, so make sure you are here. Hey, as we wrap things up, Day-Day, great job. Big Bo was here earlier today, executive producing Turtle behind the glass. We've got Hawks basketball pregame at 7. Mike Conte will have the pre-half and post. Of course, Steve Holman, bang, with the call. I hope the Hawks come out ready to play tonight, and I hope we are able to get a win. We will see how things shake out. We'll be talking about that as well as the fallout from the owners' meetings that have happened over the last couple of days. And, Mike, as we get ready to leave you, NFL owners vote in favor of letting players wear zero today.
You and I were talking about this off the air. Gilbert Arenas, of course, agent zero, click, click, back in the day. I don't mind in the NBA so much, but I don't know, zero in the NFL. But, hey, maybe is this meaning a rebirth for Calvin Ridley? He's starting from scratch.
He is. The Eagles proposed it.
So now anybody except an offensive or defensive lineman can wear the jersey number zero.
Okay.
And it also allows kickers and punters to use any jersey number between 0 and 49 and 90 to 99. So those are the new rules, if you're wondering. And, yes, Rich McKay is head of the competition committee. He was a part of it and said nobody was opposed to it, so we're going forward.
Motion carried.
Hey, man, we got to get out of here. Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Hey, man, it looks like just maybe, the Magic Johnson-led group is going to be able to put together an offer to buy out Daniel Snyder. Daniel Snyder, man, is a pariah, and if Roger Goodell could get him out of here, that'd be pretty good on his resume. Maybe he'd earn that $67 million a year he's making. In the words of a former member of the parliament, Neville Chamberlain, depart, I say. Let us have done with you. In the name of God, go. I think we all feel that way about Daniel Snyder.
Hey, the Falcons say they are still pursuing Rashawn Evans. That news coming down late if you're just joining us, so we'll see if that happens here over the next few days as well. They continue to be active. Again, they still have about $20 million to spend. Hey, as we get ready to get out of here, today we had a great conversation with Brian McFadden. He had Christian Gonzalez on his podcast, All Things Covered. Mike, this may be the guy. Corner, rated the number one corner on the board. He's 6'1", about 200 pounds. He ran a 4.340.
Right.
He is a guy that I think right now is atop of my leaderboard as the guy the Falcons may go with. We're going to see, guys. Things change, and it probably will. But if we went Christian Gonzalez, I wouldn't be opposed. Mm. Hey, if you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't,
you got a D on your mock draft from Football Outsiders.
The following is a presentation of Odyssey Sports. For even more coverage of your team, download the free Odyssey app and listen to your favorite stations, shows, and podcasts.
A tricky dribble, three-pointer, bang! Tremendous three.
This is the Georgia Power Pregame Show.
Join us as we get you ready for today's game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.